Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. And check out our ever-growing YouTube archive with more than 2,000 videos, The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, Amazing World of Radio, and The War. Go to youtube.greatdetectives.net. Today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank our latest Patreon, Jeremiah, who joins us at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. You can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Or you can send in a one-time donation if that works better for you to support.greatdetectives.net. And you can also mail in a check, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Now it's time for today's episode of That Hammer Guy. This episode originally aired sometime in 1954. And the title is Some Kind of Satisfaction.
Here is Ted DeCorsia in the Mickey Spillane Mystery, That Hammer Guy. The Argus heat overlays this city like a cellophane cover. Business is ground down to a spectacular standstill, and the bills are starting to collect in your file and in your conscience. You tilt it back in your chair with your heels erasing what varnish is left on your desktop, and you're feeling about as hopeful as a habitual toe and taking his end term examination. And then the door opens and this guy waltzes in.
Mr. Hammer.
He's a well-dressed guy, you figure between 55 and 60, and his hair is a distinguished gray at the temples. It doesn't figure he's a bill collector, so you yank your feet off the desk and give out with your best professional manner.
My name is Mark Judson.
Oh, what's the matter?
Well, it's a matter I want handled confidentially and immediately.
Oh, I think I can squeeze you in. Sit down.
Oh, thank you. Now, the matter, it concerns...
My fee is $30 a day plus expenses. I get a deposit of $100 down. If the $100 isn't all used up, you get a rebate of what's left over.
Oh, this matter, Mr. Hammer, is not only very confidential, but also of the utmost personal importance to me. Because of this, I'm very willing to pay you more than your regular fee as an incentive.
Oh, I don't need any special incentive, and my fee is the same for everybody.
Oh?
But if you're extra satisfied with the results I get, I won't turn down a bonus. It's up to you, strictly. Okay?
Oh, fine.
Now, what's the difficulty?
Well, Mr. Hammer, it's about my wife, Laura. Now, she's many years my junior. Laura is also very, very beautiful. At one time, she was in show business. She had many admirers. Is something bothering you, Mr. Hammer?
Me? It's what's bothering you. The setup is as old as Adam and Eve. Only it's not a shiny apple between you and your wife.
Well, stop me if I'm wrong.
Your wife not only had admirers, but she still has. You've got old-fashioned ideas about the institution of marriage, so what's been going on hasn't exactly set you to dancing in the street.
Well, there has been one man in particular. I don't know his name or who he is. I just know what he looks like. I wasn't troubled so much by the others in the past. I considered those just frivolous flirtation. You know, when a woman is used to being admired, you can well understand her seeking the attention of other men, if only for attention's sake.
But this latest excursion of hers, you don't figure it's a frivolous.
I know it isn't. I have good reason to know it.
And this is a very confidential matter you want me to handle is getting what they call the good.
Why?
Nothing doing.
Look here,
this whole stuff isn't in my line. Find yourself another boy.
You're wrong about what I want, Mr. Hammer.
What?
I still love my wife, no matter what. Now, you may think me foolish, but that's the way it is. I can't help myself. Perhaps I don't want to. You're going to find that strange in view of what I'm going to tell you next.
Then you don't want me to tell your wife?
Oh, no, no, no. I want you to keep a close watch on me.
On you?
Yes. This man I told you about. I'm sure he's planning to kill me.
So, you've got yourself a client. After Mark Judson writes out the $100 retainer check, you slip it into the top drawer of your desk. There are still some
items that bother you, though, and the one that looms the biggest is why he didn't go straight to the cops. I had no direct evidence, as I told you, I don't even know his name. I only saw him once with Laura in the car, and I overheard their phone conversations on two occasions. I'm afraid the police would have not taken me very seriously. Look, Mr. Judson, you get your retainer check back, and we call it quits unless we pay truth. The real reason you didn't go to the cops is what, your wife?
Yes, I didn't want to involve her.
But she wouldn't mind waltzing in your grave.
I only want time. I know that in time, this latest episode will pass too.
Only you could pass on before it did.
I've got to save my marriage at any cost.
What's worth saving?
Well, don't ask for logical explanations. There are none.
Okay, it's your marriage, your wife. Another thing bothers me, too. Why would this guy want to kill you?
I can make only one assumption. Money. My wife is used to every luxury, and it isn't likely that she would forego any of them for any man.
Now you figure that she and this guy have worked it out for her to have her cake and eat it, too.
Well, I don't hold Laura responsible.
You're a chump. You know that, don't you, Judson?
I only know one thing. I love Laura, no matter what.
Kind of a shame for taking that crack at him. Talk about human bondage. This is it at its best. He forces a weak smile.
Of course, this is all very new to me, having myself watched for proof.
What do you suggest I do?
You tell him to carry on as usual, that you will do all the doing.
And before you take off, you get a description of the guy.
As best as I can remember, he was rather handsome and blonde and, of course, young.
Young.
He says that as if his age was something sick and ugly. You go down to the street with him to his car.
I suppose I needn't say I wish you the best of luck.
You tail him in your jalopy up to his home in Scarsdale. It's a place to check. There are plenty of jack, that is. He goes up the circular hardtop driveway to the main entrance while you park alongside the cypress trees that line the estate. He's only just shutting the front door behind him when you spot the side entrance door open. Out comes a guy, a handsome guy, blonde and young. He circles back of the house. You leg it across the lawn, but by the time you get around to the rear of the house, he's gone. But the way it turns out, he isn't as gone as you think. Oh. When you come around, the first thing that hits your nostrils is the mixture of cheap incense and liquor. When your eyes are able to focus, you see you're stretched out on a couch in an unfamiliar room. The drapes and the upholstery are gaudy, clashing prints, and a pair of oversized Cupid dolls stare at you with phony innocence from the bottom of the divan. Then the two-tone platinum blonde strolls into the frame of your vision.
Morning, Mike. You're feeling better, sweetie.
Huh?
In case you've forgotten, my name's Mildred.
Your place?
My place.
Looks like I have got a lot of catching up to do.
You sure got yourself off the track last night.
You mean shoved off.
I don't know about that. When I picked you up... when we met in that bar last night, you were already tanked.
What bar?
Harry's over on 15th Street. Harry didn't want to serve you anymore. You wouldn't take no for an answer. Oh, Mike, you were a card.
Yeah. Punched card.
You did most of the punching, honey.
And then you took me here.
After they let you go at the 18th Precinct Station House.
Huh?
You had to be too much for Harry to handle, so he called the cops.
So I had a night of it.
I'll say. A good thing for you, I have some friends at the precinct house. Otherwise, you would have spent the night in the cooler. Don't remember anything, huh?
I remember something, all right.
That special incense I got burned. Smell pretty, huh?
Why'd you bring me here?
You were nice to me, so I was nice to you. I like the way the incense smells. I like it. It's oriental. It's in a kind of mellow mood.
I'm in a mood, all right, but there's nothing mellow about it.
Maybe a cup of coffee will fix you up. Got some on the burner.
It's going to take more than coffee.
Wait.
Yeah?
At the least, Mr. Stewart.
There's something I gotta take care of.
Fine way to show your appreciation running out like this. The way with most of you guys, things are always different the next morning.
They're different, all right, but never as different as this. Before you get your hand on the doorknob, she's in close and cool.
I'm sorry it was nasty. You'll come back. Tell me you'll come back.
You tell her you're coming back, all right. And you mean it more than she knows. You unnut yourself from her and get out of there. Downstairs, you get to a phone booth and put in a call to Mark Judson's place.
Hello?
I want to talk to Mark Judson.
Who is it, please? What's it about?
Private business. Put him on.
Mr. Judson is dead.
What?
Mr. Mr. Jetson was killed in an auto accident last night.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy.
False pretenses.
He said you were a friend of Mark.
From the way things look, I was the only friend he had.
I take it then he had employed you to spy on me.
Hmm. To keep an eye on him. I flunked out on him last night, so he's dead.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Sure you do. And you've got a good reason to be afraid.
Of what?
There are a lot of legitimate ways of getting rid of a husband. Murder isn't one of them.
I thought I was going to like you. Now I'm sorry you ever came.
Believe me, you're going to be even sorrier, Mrs. Judson. And that goes for your blonde-haired boyfriend in space.
Get out of here. Get out immediately.
You've got her the way you want her, boiling. You walk out knowing you've set the wheels in motion the way you want. You've left yourself wide open. Put yourself on the meat block. Only you're going to be ready when the axe falls. It's 6:30 when you get back to the office. After you rig the shoulder holster and slap the Smith & Wesson special into its leather sack, you go out in the corridor and jab the elevator button.
Going down.
What's with Charlie?
You mean the regular night man?
No.
They rushed him to the hospital Monday. Had his appendix taken out. I'm his relief.
You were on duty last night?
Uh-huh, that's right.
Remember taking anybody up to my office?
You're on the 14th floor.
That's right. Room 1405.
Uh-uh. Don't remember taking anybody up there.
Well, somebody was there.
Couldn't prove it by me.
You went up there and stopped this trick.
Huh?
I said stop it.
What's the idea?
You got the pass keys. Who'd you let into my place last night?
I told you. I don't remember taking anybody up there.
Okay, I'll give you my quick and easy memory card.
Let me go.
Lesson one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course, it gets harder as they go along. Come on, get up there.
Wait.
Back, huh?
I'm not taking a beating, not for 10 lousy bucks, I'm not.
You did let somebody in.
Yeah, he came in around 11 o'clock.
Who was he?
I don't know. I had never saw him before in my life.
Okay, what did he look like?
Well, he was a young guy, about 28 or 9, good looking.
Blonde?
Yeah, that's right. He had blonde hair. But that's all I know about him.
Okay, now take me down. You weren't surprised to pick up that information. You figured all along it was that blonde guy who got Mark Judson's check out of your office desk. But you do get a surprise when you walk out of the building. Your missing jalopy is parked smack in front of the entrance. But that's only the first surprise. The second one comes when you start to cross the sidewalk to your car. The first shot skips over your head. You dive to the ground. Two more shots rip out as you crawl back to the building on your gut. When you get inside the entrance and pull yourself up, you sneak a look up and down the block. The street is now as empty as a politician's mouth. Get in your car and drive downtown to Mildred Carney's place.
Oh, sweetie, come on in. Water's fine.
She is as loaded as a prospector out for a big strike. A raft of champagne bottles are soaking in a tub of ice.
I told you, Mike, I'd always be waiting for a special guy like you, have a drink. Champagne. Boy from Paris, France, see? That's a hell of a bottle. Champagne. Makes your nose tickle.
Yes, or a J-37, living it up in style, huh?
Real style, champagne. All the ladies in Paris, France, drink champagne. I saw in the movie.
How'd you get the dough for the stuff?
Always wanted to be a lady. Improve it now, drink champagne. Come on, have a drink, sweetie. Make your nose tickle nice.
Who gave you the dough to buy it?
Who? Wasn't there some things we all used to keep to ourselves?
Not this.
Have a drinky, Mike. Enjoy. Help, nice break, bottle.
You had enough.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that, Mike. All that nice tickling champagne is wasted. And poor from Paris, France, too. Now
where is he? Where do I locate him?
Oh! What are you talking about, sweetie?
The blonde guy.
Blonde guy. I don't know any blonde guys. I don't even like blonde guys. I like guys like you, Mike.
Come on. You're going to tell me who and where he is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Not much, you don't. You were paid off to get me here. That's how come you got the door to buy the stuff you've been swilling.
Oh, that's crazy talk. We met at Harry's bar. You were too drunk to remember.
Look, I missed by an inch having my scalp creased by a slug. I want the guy who took that pot shot at me. I know what he looks like. Now, you're going to tell me where I can find him. You're going to tell me his name.
His name is Terry. As long as you're so curious, Hammer, Terry's the name.
When you wheel around, you see he's your guy, all right. The blonde character you spotted sneaking out of the side entrance of Judson's house last night.
So now that you know, are you happy?
Happy? Well, the gun he jabbed at you makes you as happy as a bird in a snake pit. To the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy. Give it any name. When you left, the house was gone. Now, there's a light on in one of the upstairs rooms. You park your car off the main road and walk up to the house. You move slowly through the darkened hall to the door where the crack of light filters through. Your Smith & Wesson is ready to safety unlock. You don't know what to expect. You turn the knob softly and then you kick the door open. Ever. This is the last thing you expect. Mark Judson is seated at the dresser, and he holds a photograph of his wife. A photograph he was about to rip to pieces. For a second, everything jumbles in your mind like a crazy jigsaw puzzle, and then the pieces fall into sensible shape.
What is they say about the best laid plans of mice and men?
That goes for the worst plans, too, Judson.
I imagine we're both equally surprised. Why'd you come back here? I really can't explain why I did. But I suppose that isn't important now.
Terrible mistake. Your wife was right.
But as I planned it, no one would believe her.
She was telling the truth. She didn't know that guy.
No, but she could have. He was a man, young, handsome.
You killed him in that alley.
I had to. I didn't need him any longer. Besides, I had to keep you alive.
And the body in that car crash is standing.
Yes. However, that wasn't my original plan. I was going to kill myself in that crash. Then I realized I wouldn't be able to enjoy her torment if I were really dead. If I were dead, there'd be so little satisfaction for me in her ultimate punishment for my murder.
Satisfaction.
You don't know what it is to live with a woman like that. Being laughed at, being used for a fool, having every man that comes along flung in your face. I couldn't have her. I made up my mind no other man would either. I had to have some kind of satisfaction.
Well, you had it, Judson.
For what it was worth. Up to now.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. I wish I got some satisfaction out of the ending of this episode, but to be honest, this was one of the more lazily written twist endings I've heard in any radio drama. The detective happens to bump into the murderer after he returns to the scene for no particular reason, and the detective also returning for no particular reason. You could get away with a gut reaction leading to returning to the scene on either part, but to have both of them only acting out of gut instinct, that's really weak. That said, the rest of the episode was, I thought, pretty enjoyable. Some odd similes by Hammer, but we've come to expect that. I did actually sincerely laugh when I heard Hammer basically tell him that, you know, you're being paid for a sucker, right? And I thought no other detective on this program would have gone there. Of course, Hammer felt bad for it, for the same reason that pretty much no other detective on this series, maybe Pat Novak, would have gone there. I do think that one thing that does make the Golden Age detectives on radio work is there really is a standard for decency and likability. You can only that was really prevalent during the 1950s. And you can go outside the norm and be a bit of a bad boy, but there is a limit to how far you could go. I think there's probably a limit today, but you can go much further in being unlikable, hard-edged, and not as moral. The radio Hammer, I think, walks the line and perhaps crosses over it a few times. But the existence of the line pretty much limits how far he can go in that, in those directions, in terms of being edgy and such. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we have a review on iTunes for the app. This is from Jamlin777. This is the best app out there for old-time radio. shows. I truly enjoy listening to all the shows. You can pick and choose your favorite shows, also fantastic quality. Well, I appreciate you taking time to leave that review in the iTunes store. It's truly appreciated. All right, well, join us back here tomorrow for Richard Diamond. And then next Tuesday, it's another episode of That Hammer Guy. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.